So, like I said before, Happy New Year. A new year, it's a wonderful time. This year, I'm very inspired by the different holidays. We did four messages on the coming of Jesus, from the first coming of Jesus. And today, I really wanted to do something that was related to this new year. Why related to this new year? Because usually when we get to a new year, people do all kinds of resolutions and they think of the future. But also because a lot of people want to erase certain years of their life and focus on the next year. So today, I would like to just meditate and think about a few verses, and particularly beginning with the life of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, where he gives us a big lesson of how to deal with our lives when it comes to fresh starts, when it comes to an attitude of life that's able to look forward. So let's pray, and we'll get right into it. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We are so blessed, Father, to belong to you. We are so excited, Lord, as we look to a new year ahead of us. We don't know what the future holds, Lord, but we know that you hold the future in your hands. We know that you have plans, you have desires. And Father, we want to have the right attitude. We want to have, in a sense, speaking from a ship point of view, have our sails out in the right direction, Lord. Allow you to just push us in our life, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would take this time, that you would speak to our minds, speak to our hearts, and speak, Lord, most of all, to our spirits. Build our lives in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I learn a lot from, I was sitting there actually thinking, and if there's anything, the way that I look at the Bible and the way that I learn the most from the Bible, it's not from a textual point of view. I don't look at the Bible as a text, although it is a text. I look at it from the perspective of people's lives. I look at how Paul's life was just transformed by the Spirit of God. I look at the fact that Abraham, God took him and took one man with all his, in the city that he was living in. And he said, look, I'm going to do something new with you. I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make a whole nation out of you. And you think there's a man. I look at the mistakes people make and learn from those mistakes. I look at King David and how blessed he was. And yet how he blew it. He really did blow it at the end of his life. So I look at the Bible from the perspective of people's lives who walk with God. Learn the good, learn the bad, see the ugly, you know, kind of a thing. And when I look at the Apostle Paul, there's one little sentence he says that really, really strikes me. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, it says, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Paul had been transformed by the power of the Spirit of God, by the presence of the resurrected Jesus. And he had a past of murder, of bitterness, of jealousies, of self-righteousness, of prejudice. And yet he was completely changed, and his life became one where he was enraptured in the life of Jesus. And he says, I press on. I move forward. I believe our lives should be one where we're either going backwards or we're going forward. And Paul was one, a type of a guy that he's like, no, I am moving forward. I love that song. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. But the Apostle Paul was this guy. He was always moving forward. What else is there to know of Jesus? How else can I please Jesus? And Paul's life had been arrested and transformed and was moving forward with Jesus. No doubt when he wrote this letter, he was conscious of his distant past. And no doubt he was aware of his humanity and shortcomings in the present. And my question is, as we look at this new year, how did Paul look at the future? How did Paul look at what God had in store or his own life? How do we enter a new year? What lessons can we learn from these sentences that we just read? What lessons can we learn from biblical characters? And I want to say this. It's in that those few words that he says, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Isn't that amazing? Forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward to the things that God had in the future. His secret, forgetting. Forgetting those things which are behind. What do we need to forget? Because the Bible is full of these contradictions as such. They're contradictions, but they're not contradictions. Forgetting what is behind, and yet the Bible says, I will remember the mercies of God. You know, so there's a sense of you have things you need to remember, but there's things you need to forget. Forget, yes, but you don't forget, you just don't let them affect you. If we're going to have a new year in the way that God would have us have the future and look towards the future, we need to learn to forget our past sins. It's just something you need to do. Paul said forgetting. I'm sure he's like, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. And he thinks of his past before Christ, and he thinks of his present insufficiencies and failures and rebellions of the heart. If we're going to have a fruitful future year, we need to learn how to forget our sins. Ashamed of our thoughts that we've had. Ashamed of the speech that we've had. Ashamed of our actions. Maybe ashamed of the way that someone used you. I think so many that woke up New Year's Day ashamed of what they had done New Year's Eve. You know, just kind of like stumbling. Or maybe drinking a bit too much, and all of a sudden a guy just takes advantage of a girl, and then next thing you know, the girl wakes up and just think, what in the world just happened? I went with Jonathan to the park the other day, and I'm just a nosy person, you know, just kind of like, I saw a little box out, you know, there's the fence of the park, and in the back of the park, on the other side of the park, I saw a little box from the pharmacy, and I saw a little where the pills are, but there was only room for one pill. And then I saw the instructions of that. And I jumped over the fence. I just wanted to see what it was. I know it's ridiculous. I know it's so silly, but I wanted to know. I knew what it was, but I just wanted to make sure that I knew what it was. Because usually in a place like that, maybe you would find a condom or you would find something like that. Nah, I wouldn't go there. But, you know those darker places. But what it was, It was the morning after pill. It was just a few days ago. man. And all of a sudden I just thought, New Year's Eve, a little girl, maybe she's 15, maybe she's 16, and here you can buy them without permission of any parents. Just go to the pharmacy, they'll give it right to you. And that person just wakes up in the morning, is like, oh no, what have I done? I don't even know this guy. And oh, I got to get rid of this. And they took that pill. But you can take and you can get rid of the problem, but you never get rid of the shame. You never get rid of the guilt. And some people will try even medication to get rid of that stuff. And I understand that there's chemical imbalances, but there are spiritual things that we get on ourselves that you're not going to get rid of unless you deal with it through Jesus. The devil wants to paralyze us through shame and condemnation. The devil opposes and to oppose is to resist, to fight against, to be against. And you know, it's just so crazy because the devil paints everything so beautiful before you do it. And after you do it, the guilt comes in. And then the devil just sort of magnifies it and uses and abuses and accuses and oppresses. And it is very important that we know how to deal with the guilt and the shame of the past. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Zechariah chapter 3. You should turn there with me. You should highlight this thing. It says, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a branch plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then the angel answered and spoke to those who stood before him, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. Oh, man. It's just amazing because a spiritual picture of an earthly man. You know, you can see how people will look at you, how they judge you, how they criticize you, how they love you, whatever it is. But there's a spiritual realm of how God looks at you, how Satan looks at you. And here there's an earthly person, Joshua, the high priest. And we have a heavenly picture of what is going on in the spiritual realm. And you have Satan opposing him. And you have the Lord defending him. And look, I mean, I don't think Joshua had filthy garments on earth. I think it's how he's viewed from heaven. Filthy garments. Yes, Joshua had filthy garments. And the devil was pointing it out. And the Lord says, this is a branch plucked from the fire. This is a branch that belongs to me. And I have removed your iniquity from you. I'm going to clothe them. Take those filthy garments. You know, I just think of myself when I used to be a kid and play in the mud and play in the castle of Captepera. And then I would come home all dirty and my grandmother would just scrub me. My other grandmother once, she combed me so much my hair was sticking to my skull. You know, it's just like this. And it's like you take filthy garments and all of a sudden you're just as clean as can be. And that's what God does in our life. Satan accuses, abuses, separates, isolates. God wants to remove the iniquity and he wants us to move from our iniquity. But how do we deal with this condemnation and with the shame? Do we ignore it ever happened? Is that what we do? I try, man. I've done stuff, and I try. Let's pretend that never happened. And somehow this stuff just comes back at me. The conscience has a good memory. And I just try to forget it ever happened. And you just cannot do it. And the thing is that as we add to it, not only does the devil use it, but we are carrying it on ourselves. There's something about the book Pilgrim's Progress. If you've never read it, you should read it. But the guy, he's carrying a burden. He's carrying this burden around. An evangelist says, where are you going with that? He's like, you got to go to the cross over there. There you can get rid of that burden. We have to be careful how we deal with it. You can't drink it away. You wake up and it's still there, even more. You can't buy yourself clean of the guilt. And what I mean by that, you're not going to get the satisfaction by buying more stuff to get rid of guilt. You can't travel the guilt away. Another journey is not going to help. The guilt will be right there on the beach where you go. You can't eat yourself out of the guilt. You can't look for that super place where you once felt good. You can't get religious and get rid of the guilt. You can't go to Santiago de Compostela and walk the walk in Santiago de Compostela, and if you do that journey, then the guilt will go away. The guilt will still be there afterwards. The conscience, your conscience will not be cleansed until you are brought to the cross of Jesus Christ. I don't know how it works. All I know is that it works. It is there that my guilt, past and present guilt, is removed from me. Where another man, the God man, was crucified for me, and there the guilt is nailed away. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No need for penance. We love to beat ourselves over it, you know, and it's like, just flogging. But once you say, Lord, I've sinned against you, I've sinned against man, I trust in what you did in Jesus Christ, and I know that his blood cleanses me, it is there that the guilt is taken away. He says, he is just to forgive us and to cleanse us. That is an amazing word. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once we confess it, we must forget it. The devil will bring it up. And you will remember it as such. But there is a secret of being able to live unaffected by it. Live in the promises of God. Have you ever read Psalm 103:12, where it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us? What an amazing thing. There's years we would like to bury, you know, behind us. You could bury your life today. You could bury 2014 away. Leave it behind. It's past. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How can this be? How can there be no condemnation? And the reason is because someone paid the debt away. And I told my dad, Dad, if anybody knows that they've sinned, it's you. You left me when I was 5. And Jonathan's 5 in a couple of months. I just think, like, how in the world could he look at me that day and say, Raphael, choose. You want to come with mommy or you want to come with daddy? I mean, the age of Jonathan. And I said, oh, I'll go with mommy. I thought it was to the store. Didn't see him for years. And I said, if anyone sinned, it's you, Dad. Left mom, left me. You know, everything that he did. And I said, do you want help? There's a debt that you cannot pay yourself. And he said, yes. And the thing is that there is a debt that we cannot pay. I don't care if you've lied once. You cannot do that. You cannot forgive yourself. You cannot just pretend it never happened. And the debt, it is so huge when it's seen through the eyes of the purity of God. But there's a place in Christ where there's therefore no condemnation because he paid the debt. We need to remember who we were in the light, but we need to see it in the light of Jesus. We need to remember who we are, but we need to see it in the light of Jesus. And we need to remember who we will be in the light of Jesus Christ. And what we need to be able to say is, I am under construction. Nobody has arrived here today. All you can do is forget what is behind and look forward to what is ahead. Thank God I'm not what I was, but I hope that I'm not. But I know that I'm not what I will be. I don't want to stay the way that I am. I want to keep growing. I am under the construction of God. That's the number one thing that we need to forget about 2014. We need to be able to say, forgetting what is behind, my sin, my failures, the sinfulness. But there's something else that we need to forget, and it is the missed opportunities. Actually, before we move from it's okay. We can do it on this one. We need to forget the missed opportunities. I have a friend that went to Africa, and he felt like, man, there was a guy in a wheelchair, and he felt like the Lord was telling him, you know, to just grab his hand and says, in the name of Jesus, arise. And he didn't do it. And he felt so guilty for it. He couldn't move past that. He couldn't move past the fact that years before, he actually didn't act on what he thought was an impulse from God. He's like, oh man, I missed my opportunity, and that's it. I just never want to do that again. Another one just told me that they felt responsible and didn't make the most out of an opportunity with a friend of theirs. And the devil also loves to remind us of all the things we missed out on. If we would have done this thing or that thing, if we would have gone or if we would have stayed, if we would have opened our mouth that day, if we would have this thing, or if we, you know, and in a sense we move into the land of we should have, we could have, but we didn't. You know, and you cannot possibly live there. You make decisions the best that you know how to, even some wrong decisions, and you have to move away from the fact that you missed some opportunities in the past. The question is, what are you going to do this year? Some people still get caught up and have missed past opportunities that they're not seeing the opportunities that are there now, and therefore, they're not only failing then, but they're failing now. Sins of omission. It's not, there's sins of commission, the things that we did wrong. But sins of omission is the right we should have done, but we didn't do. Anytime anyone ever feels like they're not sinful, I just go, well, have you ever done everything you should do? I mean, I go to bed every day thinking of things I should have done. and didn't do. And the worst part is when we blame God for our sins of omission, for our missed opportunities, you know? Well, I guess it wasn't meant to be. Or God didn't really push me enough for it. So, no, wait a minute. You can't blame God for the fact that you didn't do certain things. Just own up to it. Own up to the fact that I missed that opportunity. I should have taken the opportunity, but I didn't take the opportunity. But you know what? He is sovereign. And he's able to work out his purposes. He's able to work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, even though I missed opportunities. As a matter of fact, I think it would be safe to say that God doesn't use successful people. God uses failures. But we need to be able to admit that we fail, and that in spite of our failing, God is able to do his work, and then who's glorified? See, if God uses successful people, then we are glorified. If we're able to own up to the things that we didn't do that we should have done, and we say, Lord, I should have done this thing, and I didn't do it, but you know what? I've got to trust you that you're able to supply my insufficiencies. And know that he's able to do that. It shouldn't give us an excuse not to take opportunities, but it should give us a peace of mind when we leave the past behind, to give us the confidence of dealing with the future ahead of us. I think of the Apostle John when Jesus went through Samaria and the Samaritans would not have him there. The Samaritan says, we're not having Jesus. You know, you're going down to Jerusalem. We worship in Samaria. We're not. And John got all ticked off. And he said, let's call fire down from heaven and consume these people. That's a missed opportunity. And Jesus rebuked them and says, you don't know what spirit you're of. I didn't come to destroy man's lives. I come to save them. And John, I wonder if he dealt with the guilt of, oh man, I should have, I could have, I would have, but I didn't. Oh, Jesus, I can't believe it. I didn't please you, Lord. And I just missed this great opportunity. God will never use me again. Oh. And then Acts chapter 8 comes. And the door opens to the Samaritans. And Philip is there. He shares the gospel. And tons of people are coming to Jesus. And the door's wide open. And it's like the Holy Spirit said to Philip, Philip, you know, hold on. Stay here. I got a guy that used to want to call fire on these people. I want him to come and call the Holy Spirit on them. And Peter and John came to Samaria and realized that they had not received the Spirit. And they prayed for them. And the Holy Spirit fell on them. It's amazing. This is years later. A missed opportunity redeemed by the sovereignty of God. Isn't that amazing? Forgetting what is behind. Forget your missed opportunities. Trust God for the future. Have you ever said the wrong thing? And just kind of like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Have you ever been in a circumstance like send a letter or done something and you just kind of like, oh, just done the wrong thing. It was a good thing, but then you second guess yourself. Maybe you did the right thing, but you just second guess. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that or I shouldn't have said that. Well, that happened to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had the opportunity of his life. He went to Jerusalem. He had all of Jerusalem in front of him. And he says, oh, brethren. And they're so happy. He's so happy that he finally gets to share the gospel with them. And he says, oh, you know, and then he sent the Lord Jesus and he called me so I could go to the Gentiles. And he says, Luke says, and they heard them until that word. The word was the Gentiles. And because of that, the Apostle Paul was in prison for 2 years. Now, can you imagine him in prison? Why did I say that word? Could I not just left that part out? If I would have just, oh, you little knucklehead. I just can't believe I said it. Whether it was right, whether it was wrong, I don't know. But why did I say that? But you know what? You don't see any condemnation in the Apostle Paul. Those 2 years were in prison. He got to share with Festus. He got to share with Felix. He got to share with Agrippa. Luke got to write, I believe, Luke and Acts, or at least Luke for the time being. Do all his research. And then finally he went to Rome, as God said. And actually, the Lord said to Paul, as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, you will testify of me in Rome. There was no condemnation. We need to be able to deal and forget missed opportunities of the past or mishandled opportunities of the past. As we go ahead into 2015, we need also to forget something else. We need to forget those things done to us. Not just forgetting what we've done, but as we have been forgiven, let us also forgive. We need to forgive and forget the things done to us personally. Joseph in the Old Testament was sold and became a slave. He was sold by his own brothers. Actually, he was going to be killed, but Reuben, his brother, said, oh, no, let's not kill him. Let's not shed blood. Let's throw him into a pit. That's a nice thing to do. Whoa, you really did good now. Just throw him into the pit. He became Potiphar's slave, and yet he became Potiphar's right-hand man. He was forgotten. Has your family ever hurt you? Have you ever been betrayed by someone? Have you ever been betrayed by someone you were faithful to? I mean, he was forgotten in prison at one point. One of the crazy thing in the scriptures is he was in prison, and then there was those the cupbearer and the baker. They were in prison, and they were wondering what their future was going to be like. And Joseph interpreted their dreams. The one was going to be killed. The other one was going to be set loose. And he said, "But please, if I interpret these dreams for you, please promise me that when you're set free, you will remember me when you come there, and that you will work it out for me to be set free." And one of the most tragic, pitiful passages of the Bible is actually when it says, "And the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." Wait a minute. I mean, this is not just a light forgetting. He's in prison. He just helped him. What kind of a guy was Joseph? Was he going to just, "I can't believe this guy forgot me"? And later on, the chief butler said, "I remember my faults today." But you know what's so interesting? He was betrayed by his family. He was betrayed by someone he had been serving loyally. He was forgotten to rot in prison. And yet, you know what he named one of his sons? Manasseh. Manasseh, which in Hebrew sounds like forgive, forget. It says, "Joseph called the name of his firstborn son Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." God has made me to forget. Now, did he ever forget? Did he forget? I don't think so. He knew exactly what had been done to him. But the sting was removed. You've been affected by something done to you? You're like, and anytime the person's name is mentioned, you're just like, or you're in a room with that person and you're just like, they are the center of the universe. They're like the sun and you're everywhere they are. You know exactly where they're at, you know? And it's just like, oh, yay, yay. And we become very much like the little guy in the Lord of the Rings with, it's my precious. And we cherish this wrong that has been done to us, and we pamper ourselves with it. We need to forget the wrongs done to us to remove the sting that hurts us. Satan is a bully, and he will attack you. He will magnify the things that have been done to you. And with your past hurts, you have to be so careful. One, that you don't grow bitter. But two, that you don't make it into an scapegoat in your life. You know? You can live your whole life never walking with the Lord, never walking in victory, because you blame everybody else in your past. You know? Well, when I was 5, my dad left. So therefore, that's why I don't believe in God. If God is a God of love, then why did my dad leave when I was 5? Why is it that when I was in school, a guy threw a rock at me, and then as soon as I looked over, boom, it hit me in the face. And it's like, I just can't. Why, if there's a God, why had he's allowed this stuff to happen to me? Well, I did. I gave that homeless person 5 euros and then he cursed me out. Why is it? All these bad things that have happened to me. And then some serious things. Oh, I was sexually abused when I was a kid. Or I was all these, you know, I was one day I was trying to serve the Lord and I was beaten, or I was raped, or, you know, listen, we cannot hold on to the past. If you do not deal with the past in the proper way, you will never move on to the future. To me, when God said to me, I make you into a new creation, I believe that was a new creation. Yes, there were issues from the past, but I was determined I was going to leave them behind like Saul left them behind. If he could leave murdering, if he could leave the things that have been done to him, if he could leave persecuting the church of Christ, if he could leave his Phariseeism away, then I could leave my petty things behind. And no matter what you've gone through in this life, it is petty compared to the glory that God has for you. God has incredible plans, an incredible future, an incredible desire to bless you. And stubbornness and harboring the wrongs that have been done to you all of your life would hold you back from every blessing that God has for you. We cannot make the past into an excuse and an scapegoat for the future. We must let go and forget the past and realize that God has a future for us. Man, the verse that God spoke into my life, one of them, when I first became a Christian, and you know, I had broken relationship, I had betrayals that happened, I had family issues. My grandmother wouldn't even greet me in the town square. There was so much arguments in my family. I was raised in a home that, although I was sad my dad left at 5, the one memory I have of him when I was a little kid is a shoe going through a glass door. And the other nice memory I have is of being left alone in an apartment while my mom and dad went out for a drink, and I was on a third floor trying to climb out of a window to a door to go find my mom and dad. That is the memory that I have of that. And then my mom remarrying and actually marrying a man who, the other memory I have is of him drunk almost every day and throwing videotapes, at that time we had videotapes, through the little thin walls of the United States houses, which are made of, you know, what they're made of, and punches in the doors, and her waking up with my dad, my stepdad choking her. If anybody has a past to say I'm going to hold on to it, it's me. But man, that God spoke to my heart, and he spoke Isaiah 43:18. Come to it with me. Go to Isaiah 43. You got to read it. You got to highlight it. And I know it's context. I know it's for Israel. But God spoke that to me, to my own heart. In Isaiah 43, verse 18, it says, do not remember the former things. This is God speaking. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. In verse 25, He is who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. And that, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall come to forth. I just couldn't shake it. It's like God illuminated my heart and said, I'm going to do a brand new thing. This was 20 years ago. Mamma mia, has my life been different since? 18 years. And this was a nation in collapse, in domination of Babylon, hopelessness, moral collapse. And my life was just like that. My life was collapsed. It was under the domination of this world. It was hopeless. It was in a moral collapse. I didn't know where right and wrong was anymore. And man, those words, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Do not remember the old things. Spoke to my heart. And it was going to be a work on the basis not of my obedience, but in spite of my disobedience. Oh, that you guys and us, all of us, would grab a hold of the incredible promise that God personally wants to do a new thing in our lives personally, in our family, in our church, in our community. So we looked at the sins, at the missed opportunities, at the things done to us, to leave behind, to forget. But what are we to remember? Because we cannot just have amnesia of the past. We can't live by amnesia. We need to be able to forget certain things, but we need to remember other things. And I'm going to close, and then we're going to take communion. I think it's a great day to take communion and bury the past, to have a fresh start. There are things to remember. Number one, Psalm 77 says, I will remember your mercy. Remember his mercy today. The fact that you are here today, in spite of what you are and what you've done, it's only the mercy of God. You're breathing his air. You're eating his food. You're dwelling in his heat. You know, I mean, he's giving you the sun to warm you. He's given you seasons. I mean, he's given you the sea. He's given you everything. Everything that you enjoy, everything he has given you. In spite of you. And it's because of his mercies that we are not consumed. It is because of his mercies that I have another day to live. Number two, we need to remember this. We need to remember that God is faithful. Not your friends. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter if it's your best friend. Everybody has failed each other at one point or another. And it's such a painful thing to go through when we are failed by our friends, but such a wonderful thing when we realize there's none in heaven but him that we desire. He is the faithful one. Things might not be working out just like we thought at the moment, but believe me, he is faithful. Just a little glimpse of this is us with Loretta being pregnant. I mean, it's just shocking. Even if she wouldn't have gotten pregnant, even if the pregnancy doesn't go through, it wouldn't change the fact that God is faithful. But I want to point something out. It's just crazy how he is just able to do things. In the invisible and through the space of time, his promises are not always immediate. The problem is that we are quick to accuse God of being unfaithful during the time of waiting. I mean, in a sense, we're saying, hop, 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 come on, I've prayed. Where all we got to do is read our Bibles and realize that sometimes the promises of God are answered in the midst of the years. But we need to remember that in the midst of the years, he's always been faithful. He will always be faithful to you. He can't even deny himself. He will help you. Number three thing that you have to remember for 2015 is that God loves you. And he loves you more than you could ever imagine. One of the struggles I have is to be able to comprehend and to convey how much God loves you. And I remember Dave Shirley being here one day, and he was talking about the individuality of God's love for us personally. And I remember him looking straight at me and saying, God loves you, and you don't even understand how much he loves you. And he had tears in his eyes. And I believe that he was looking at me because he saw that I was discouraged. He saw I was going through it. And you know what? God loves you. And I don't even want to look at any of you guys. I just wish you would close your eyes and you would hear the words, God loves you. And if you only knew how profoundly he loves you. He loves you more than your parents love you. He loves you more than your friends love you. He loves you more than anybody on this planet or on heaven and earth loves you. He loves you. And one thing you need to remember is that he loves you in 2015. And that you might be going through difficult times, but it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. God is going to be faithful to you. God is interested in you. I get convicted sometimes. I'm very interested in people, but sometimes I'm just overwhelmed by myself. And I just become disinterested in people. God is not like that. God is interested in you. He fearfully and wonderfully made you. We went to see the ultrasound thing of the little baby. And it's just amazing where it says fearfully and wonderfully made. It's unbelievable. This thing, we can already see both parts of the brain. It yawned, the little one. Oh, put his hand. I mean, it's only a few weeks old. Perfectly designed by God. Before we have met this little child, God already knows that little child. God knew you when you and your parents had not met you yet. And one of the things that we doubt most in our lives is whether God really loves us. Of course, he can love them. And Facebook, it's a horrible thing when it comes to that. Facebook is a horrible thing when it comes to that. Because we put all the good things on Facebook. I do. I don't want to wear my problems on Facebook. You know, just kind of like, I put a sunset. Did you guys see, those of you guys that are on Facebook with me, I put a sunset on Facebook. And then I called Dave Shirley and Craig Kwan, Craig in Italy, and Dave in the States. And I called Dave and I said, you know, I'm, you know, this week, this last, since I come back to the States, it's been a bit rough. Some stuff's been going on. It's just not easy. And you know, in my heart, I'm feeling quite unloved, you know, in many ways. And I'm just kind of like, oh man, all this stuff's going on. And I called Dave and he's like, well, you know, I a friend of ours that went to plant a church in Colorado, he's like, I was just with him. And man, he is struggling over there in Colorado, and everything's just, I mean, the missionary work there is quite tough, and he's got a full-time job, and everybody that's serving there's got a full-time job. And just a couple of days before, I saw a picture of him on Facebook, and I thought, man, wouldn't it be nice to be him over there? And I didn't realize the struggles that he was going through. And I called Craig Kwan. And I said, Craig, I'm really struggling this week. Please pray for me, because I can understand the circumstances that are going through and I can see them, but there's something more going on in my chest. There's a heaviness on my chest. There's a pressure. There's an accusation. There's a sense of failure on my chest. And I called Craig and he's like, and I'm telling him this, and he's like, I was just looking at Facebook and I saw the sunset. I was like, wouldn't it be wonderful to be Ralph? And it's just amazing, because we get on Facebook, it's like, oh, it would be wonderful to be Raph and Loretta. It would be wonderful to be Craig. It would be wonderful to be somebody else. But it's terrible being me. But you know what? God loves me. God loves you. And we must remember that. He loves us so much that he gave his son. The son loves us so much that he gave himself to go to the cross and leave heaven. And the spirit loves us so much that he pursued us and he's chased us in every situation of our life. He loves us and he will always love us. Even if we deny him, he will still love us. His heart will be broken if we are separated from him from eternity. His heart will be broken because of his great love that he has. Nobody loves like he does. And we must have that as an anchor of our souls. We do not judge the love of God by our circumstances. We look at the love of God on the basis of the fact that he gave it all to come and save us. And number four, what we need to remember, and I close with this, is this. There was a man that when he died, he said, before he died, he said it, I want to be buried with my Bible in my left hand and a fork in my right hand. And they're like, what? Why the fork? I can understand the Bible in your casket, you know, just kind of symbolic, but why the fork? And he said, because when you go to a great meal, they always tell you, keep the fork, because the best is yet to come. And I want us to understand, as far as our souls and our walk with Jesus is concerned, the best is yet to come. And this 2015, you can be as close to Jesus as you would choose to be to him. Oh, that you would make it into an opportunity to draw near to him because of his faithfulness, because of his mercy, because of his love. And that you would look at life and say, you know what? He's got the best intentions in mind. I'm with you, Jesus. I'm going to hope the best. In my spiritual life with you, Lord, do the best. Let's have the best this year. Last week, I hope you don't mind me, Nikki, sharing this, but last week I talked to Nikki, and she's like, oh man, I was on my way to church, and I just had such a rough day with the kids, and I yelled at the kids, and she was just brokenhearted by it. And I'm thinking, you haven't seen me with Jonathan. I'm just kind of like, I mean, she's got three. And I got one. And it's just like, sometimes I just want to kill this kid. Other times I just want to hug him, you know, and I love these kids to bits. But sometimes I get thoughts. And I've had a year with him. It's our first year with him. And it's been so blessed, but it's been so rough. There's times where I've wanted to headbutt him. You're just kind of like, he really thinks he's tough. He's like, you want to fight, you know? And I'm just like, I mean, one time I put him to think and he just flipped me off. At 4 years of old, he flipped me off and he did it really good. And the other day at the dinner table, I'm talking to him and he's like, yeah, he put it up and he says, is this bad? And I said, yes, it's bad. And he says, sometimes I like doing it behind my back so nobody sees me. I like doing it. I'm just like, ah. And he's such a lovely kid in other ways. He's so tender. But sometimes in our, I'm mentioning this, I need to leave the past behind. Even in that area, missed opportunities, forgiveness, even in the fact of forgiving the things that I've done, we need to move on. And let's make this year, today, forget January 31st, today. Let's forget what is behind and look to what is ahead. If you do not know Jesus today, I would like to ask you to receive him. Just pray to him. Says, I don't know how, I hear this, but I don't know how to do it. And Lord, I just want to be able to forget like that. And I wanted to have something to look forward that is substantial, which is you who is faithful, you who is loving, you who is merciful, and you who have the best yet to come. May today be the day that all things become new for you, that your very life becomes a new creation. I was thinking of Christina that used to come here, and she was in an abusive relationship with a guy who's into drugs and all that stuff. And not to think of her just married with her husband that loves her. And I'm not saying that this is what needs to happen, but we get news she's buying a house and she's got a little girl with a mom and dad now. And I just think like, man, this life was going down the drain. And look at her now. Just secure in who she is in the Lord. What a wonderful story of redemption. God wants to do that in your life. Allow him to work in it. Today it's going to be a bit longer because we're going to pass the elements, and I'm sorry, but I think it's a good time for us to just take communion and remember that these new beginnings are possible because Jesus makes all things new at the cross. So, Alex, if you come forward. If you would pass out the elements right now, just let's not wait for anything. Keep the cup, keep the bread. We're going to pass them out. We're going to hold both together. We're going to give thanks for both. And we're going to sing our last song. So if you got two, right? Yeah.